hey, how come you didn't pick up on this? Or like, why are we over budget? So when I talk about spend culture, you really want to empower the spenders to drive the decision and like say, hey, you know, I'm bringing on this new business. Here's what my spend expectations are. Here's what the contract is. Like, all that should be done up front, right? Before the spend actually occurs.
Hello, and welcome to Tech for Finance, where we help finance pros stay ahead of the game, develop their skills, and free up time for the things that matter most using technology. Please like and subscribe. Hey everyone, so today we're lucky to be joined by Howard Katzenberg at Glean AI. Thanks for coming on the show, Howard.
Hey, what's up, Adam? Glad to be here.
Good. And it is just Glean, isn't it? Or do you prefer Glean AI?
We go by both. It doesn't really matter. There's a glean.com though. So the AI one, it helps to really establish kind of the AI component of Glean. But it does differentiate versus the glean.com that's out there that did come out after us. But it does lead to confusion sometimes.
No, it's fine. All good. So before we kick off, because I'm keen to talk around, obviously, your platform, because it's sort of pushing boundaries in the space. But before you formed Glean, you know, you were a CFO yourself.
Yeah.
So you're familiar with the challenges, and it's part of the reason you formed Glean, right? Because you were frustrated with the way that, you know, things were done traditionally, right? So now that you've spent 4 years as a founder and CEO, if you could talk to CFO Howard from 10 years ago, what are the little tips? What would be the bits of insight that you'd give?
Yeah, I think, it's a good question. I think if I could go back 10 years ago and talk to CFO Howard to make that person a better CFO, I think I would say, you know, based on my experiences as a CEO, you have to have a really good understanding of unit economics. And it's important to, like, CFOs have to understand how the sausage gets made in the factory. So you have to have that surface level understanding how everything at the business operates. And I did, right? But I would even encourage CFOs to be audacious, go the next layer down. I think looking back, you know, I would always underestimate the amount of time a new feature would take the engineering team to launch into the product, or, you know, the amount of time to launch a marketing campaign, or the success I would expect from a marketing campaign. And now, having lived those things myself, I think if you were to spend time as a CFO, you know, just attending planning sessions between product and engineering and understanding how things, you know, get prioritized, how projects get broken down, how even, you know, things get assigned to engineers, what constraints are given, what trade-offs are made during that process. I think that type of empathy and understanding can go a long way to make a CFO more understanding, you know, more empathetic, and just get to know the business better. And likewise in marketing, you know, I spend so much time today thinking through our ICP, you know, within the ICP, who are the different personas? How do we message to each persona in the ICP? And how does that all translate into the product marketing that we do? I think had I done that or spent some time really better understanding that as a CFO, I would have been a better CFO in, you know, my ability to talk to investors and other constituents. So, you know, I think all CFOs should at least kind of work at the surface level and understanding how everything operates and is interconnected with the business. But I would encourage them to then take, you know, the next step down as well to gain that next level of understanding.
And that's fair. And I guess just to pick one of the points that you mentioned there is the time horizon.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes misjudging the amount it takes for some things to get off the ground. You know, so you mentioned product development, engineering. Oh, yeah, no, it'll be ready next month, you know, 12 months later. It's the same in sales, right? Oh, yeah, no, we've got five really big prospects that were due to close in the next month, 6 months later. So I guess expanding that time horizon and finding a way to be more realistic, or at least building that into your forecast, is really useful stuff, right? But it's interesting what you said about the marketing there. And I guess, you know, looking at a couple of posts here about CFOs leading sort of investment discussions, and it doesn't immediately, you know, sort of marketing in your ideal customer doesn't necessarily always form, you know, front and center headspace to a CFO, right? But I guess everybody's got to sell at some point, right?
Yeah. Well, even CFOs are selling to, you know, investors all the time. It could be bankers, you know, it could be your team, right? In terms of keeping them motivated. So that skill set is certainly important. But then just understanding, you know, if you're in a meeting with a salesperson or your head of marketing, being able to connect with them better to, so to understand, like, all right, you know, why did this tactic work? Why did this channel work or not? And it could be because of different, you know, different changes in testing strategies to different ICPs or different personas or different different tests that, you know, being run. Just having that more granular understanding of kind of what they're doing, I think, you know, is certainly very important.
Absolutely. And I've been doing a bit of work around sort of channel analysis when it comes to stuff like, you know, paid advertising, organic, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And one of the most difficult things to quantify is organic reach, for example, of a website. You know, and you might work with an SEO agency and they might say, oh yeah, no, we'll get you on, you know, the top page of Google or Bing or whatever it is now. But the ramp up is always so much longer. And it's even the same with PPC, right? Because even if you paid for leads that are bottom of the funnel that are coming into the pipeline right now, they've still got to get through the sales process. They've still got to be nurtured. You know, they've still got to go through all of those sorts of things. So I don't think there's a general rule to say, you know, always add 3 months into that planning. But as you say, the deeper your knowledge and the more historic data, I guess, you've got to work from, the more accurately you can inform those decisions, right?
Yeah. Listen, I think CFOs can bring a certain skill set at analyzing every step along the conversion cycle, you know, by persona type, by company type, and bring that level of analysis to different teams and bring understanding that may not be able to be surfaced without like the finance skill set. I think we've uncovered some things here at Glean because we're so analytical. It's led to us like doubling down in certain channels and talking to certain personas different ways because we've uncovered things in the data.
And can you, is that the secret sauce? Can you uncover can you give a couple of those examples or is that a conversation for another day?
Yeah. So like just the discovery that we'll do. And when I talk about discovery, it's like on a first call, it's different with a CFO, for instance, than with, I'll call it a controller, where with the CFO, the first couple of questions that we're asking are going to be about like their overall company objectives, profitability. And then we'll ask about spend culture, like how's the culture of your company? And ultimately we're trying to get them to, acknowledge that, you know, if we can help solve and improve the spend culture and allow not just finance, but the people outside of finance to be more accountable, feel more accountable and act like owners, that is a problem worth solving. Whereas if we get a controller, you know, on that first call, the questions are going to be more about their team efficiency and enabling not necessarily like better accountability of spend, but more time savings. So like a lot of the questions are on process today and what are the pain points around the process? And if those can be improved, like what more can be done? We'll break down some of those questions based on what general ledger system they're using, what stage in the process they are. So I think the more data driven you can be and see like what's worked in the past and what hasn't, the more you can change and test and iterate.
And you mentioned spend culture there, which I think is a really interesting one. So some examples I've seen in the past, and of course every business is different, but to solve the administrative overhead of low level spending, just to say, right, everything up to $500, for example, we'll say, yeah, fine. You know, we'll have that cap there, but below that, everybody's free to procure as they wish. But it'd be interesting to see your views on how you could maybe improve spend culture. And you mentioned also that making people feel like they're taking ownership. So is that by maybe giving them live insight into budget or what they've spent already? What does that ownership piece look like?
Yeah. Well, for most companies, it's very almost like antagonistic. Finance like sets a budget. They give a budget to the department heads. And then the department heads almost feel like an obligation to come in just a little percentage under budget. So even if they could theoretically come in 10% under budget, they'll come in 8%, like 2% under budget, because they want to use that additional spend. And it's like, oh, I want to, and so you want to go over budget, you got to get finance's approval. And then like when the bills come in, like this is part of the reason why I started Glee. What would happen, we were using like the leading bill.com, leading AP solution, which is bill.com. Bills would come in, they'd get routed to the person responsible, like the department head or the person in that group who managed the spend. They wouldn't respond to the first email. Oftentimes they wouldn't respond to the second email. Like someone in finance would be like, hey, it's the end of the month. We got to close our books. Can you approve the bill? They log in. They have like 7 or 8 bills in their queue. They don't look at any bill individually. They just maybe do like some reasonable dense, like check for each of those bills in their table. They hit select all, and then they hit approve. Those then bills get routed to the finance team, who have no like context on a lot of these vendors. But because it was approved, there's like this false reliance. All right, it must be good. And then they hit approve. But they don't realize that like the person before them who actually manages the relationship, like, you know, they have their day job. They just, you know, hit approve. And like, by the way, when they want to see the bill, like it's very hard in a lot of systems and you can't compare it to prior bills. There's no analytics. So all this results in like a lot of money silently walking out the door. And then anytime there's like a surprise, it often gets caught after this fact. And that's like, it becomes antagonistic. Hey, how come you didn't pick up on this? Or like, why are we over budget? So when I talk about spend culture, you really want to empower the spenders to drive the decision and like say, hey, you know, I'm bringing on this new vendor. Here's what my spend expectations are. Here's what the contract is. Like all that should be done up front, right? Before the spend actually occurs. And your finance should approve that. And then as the spend occurs, like you're comparing, you know, what was expected to the actual. And, you know, if ideally, if you're using a platform like Lean, you're getting analytics that says, all right, this law firm bill is up 20%. And here's why. It's, you know, there was a new project that was added and the number of hours were up 18%. And there was also this expense reimbursement that they pushed through for $700. And now everyone's like on the same page. If I have a question, I could ask, you know, was that expense reimbursement expected? Was it allowed per our engagement letter? You know, if you have uploaded the engagement letter, I can check it to make sure it was okay. We can chat back and forth. And, you know, the more that happens, what we see, at least with our customers, is that, you know, the owners, the budget owners, like just start acting a lot more like owners because it's a much more of a partnership. Like it, and they feel included in the process because like the conversations are happening as opposed to just being like a part of some type of workflow. And that's, you know, when we talk about spend culture improving, that's really what it's all about.
So it's encouraging that communication from the data and having everything in one place. If I were to sort of paraphrase what you're saying,
yeah, there, I think right? That's right. So better collaboration.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So the way that I think about AP and AP automation, and you can correct me whether I'm wrong, is with a few levels, because I often get asked about benchmarking. Yeah. So a company that maybe feels like their tech can be improved. You know, maybe they feel like they're fighting against tech a little bit and they're like, well, what are other companies doing? And is a little bit difficult to advise because, you know, some finance teams might have a lot of really good tech, but they still might be not be producing the value that they want to, right? So maybe benchmark is the wrong question. Maybe it's, are we delivering the value that we want to, is the better question. But the reason I say, I think in terms of levels, if you go back to basics, right, and some companies still do this, like manually keying invoices into a GL system.
Yeah.
No procurement process. So that's like, you know, hopefully very few companies are still doing that, right? Then you've got your next level, which was OCR, right? But I think we're now moving more towards this ICR, which is intelligent character recognition, right? So that's where less training is required in saying, oh, well, that box is there. So that's where the date is and this table's here. So you need to point it to that. So that's the second level so that we don't have to type anything and it's sucked in. The third level to me is then, forgetting about the AI for a second, is the analysis that you've suggested there. Yeah. So once we have the data in the platform, can we track stuff like average supplier spend, you know, and all of those sort of things that allow us to make better decisions about the relationship that we have with suppliers? And then level four, and I do like to keep it to three levels just because it's easier, but I think we do need another level now, which is that AI piece. And I think what I understand from Glean, and you can keep me true on this, is that once you've got access to that base level data and you're able to see, I guess it's anonymized, what other companies are roughly spending for these types of services, that allows you to take that insight to the next level, where we're not just saying we're spending with these suppliers, this is our average spend and so on. You've got an AI that's intelligently saying, well, why don't you do this? Or this is higher than expected, or so on. Am I sort of right in thinking of those levels, or is there a step that I've missed or anything that you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think most traditional AP solutions kind of stop at the second level today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason I started Glean was I saw money like silently walking out the door. And when I kind of analyzed why, you know, and the revenue side, I had access to dashboards where at any time of the month, I could basically tell you how revenue was tracking and drill it down to the salesperson, to the product, to the channel, to the time of the day, right? Like, and pull it up in a dashboard and explain exactly what was going on in the business. On the spend side, it was the exact opposite. Like, I'd have to wait until like 2 to 3 weeks after the actual end of the month for the accounting close to occur. And then I got like one Excel report that just showed me my expenses month over month, where like the rows were the vendors, the columns were the months. And that's it. I couldn't dig in even any further. And I realized, well, like it's a missed opportunity. There's so much rich data flowing through accounts payable, like on these invoices, but the AP systems only capture vendor name, amount due, and some day fields like the due date and the invoice date. Yeah, I want to really understand like the drivers of my costs. So what are the six or seven services or products that I'm purchasing? What's the unit price I'm paying for each? What are the volumes I'm consuming? And that's what Glean does. Like, we capture that information off of every invoice. Then we'll analyze how those things are changing over time. And then, you know, we'll give you what we call like gleans, right? We took the verb glean, we made a noun out of it. We gave you those insights and alerts to see like what's changing, what's anonymous, what are potential errors on a specific bill. That's like the level three you talked about. And then the level four is like, all right, well, you're paying $200 per seat for your Zoom license, the annual version of it. Other customers with similar usage are paying $145. So we're able to kind of use benchmarking data based on that proprietary data we have for things like unit pricing, payment terms, or even, you know, fraud alerts. If we see that bank, like the payment information for a specific vendor is different for the payment information that other customers use for the vendor, that could be fraudulent invoice. So we flag those types of things for our customers.
Really quick, guys, as you know, I don't run ads and I no longer sell anything on here. So to help me, it'd be great if you could share with just one other person, leave a review, give a thumbs up and subscribe. It really does make a difference. Now back to the show. That's really interesting, actually. obviously the hackers are getting smarter, right? So yeah, so I think having that extra data protection layer is a good one, right? But I guess taking a step back a little bit, when you mentioned some of the AI and the benchmarking stuff there, which is great. And I remember listening to you on the, was it the MAD podcast, the machine learning and data analytics podcast?
Yeah.
Where the question was asked about you annoying suppliers by essentially allowing companies to, you know, weigh against, you know, because obviously companies got to make money and all of that sort of stuff. And we don't have to go down that rabbit hole because, of course, you said that, you know, Glean at the moment isn't big enough for, you know, companies like Salesforce and Zoom to care that obviously you're providing later on other customer spending. But just looking at the data, I think coming back to what you said earlier about CFOs having that deeper understanding and being able to collaborate and coach and all of those sorts of things is, there could be some quick wins, and you've probably seen this before. Like if a supplier is offering an early settlement discount, and it sounds like something so simple, right? But you know, if on average you're just a day over that period for making use of an early settlement discount, that's a quick win, right? You know, you could be saving 10% or whatever it is. So being able to push backwards and forwards based on the time element of that is also really useful as well. But then also being able to say, right, well, you know, we spend a lot of money with you, right?
Yeah.
You know, isn't it about time that we have a grown-up conversation about, you know, better rates?
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. You see what I mean? And that's without the AI stuff. That is just from having the base data,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we'll call that out in our product that your spend with this vendor is up 170% month year to date, right? And you may not realize that. But with that context, you'd be like, all right, I'm going to pick up the phone, although we're not due for renewal for 6 months. Hell with that. Like, I'm going to call them up and negotiate a better deal now because our volume is so much higher. A lot of customers take advantage of that. And, you know, we've had stories of customers using our benchmarking data to, like, negotiate. You know, recently I heard about $20,000 off like their price plan with Salesforce. Another one, it was like a $60,000 savings recently, blanking on who that vendor was. But vendors, as long if there's a salesperson on that other side, that pricing is negotiable. That's what I said.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything's a negotiation, right? So I guess if we think about the steps that a company might need to go through, so, and I'd like to answer this question because a lot of times people just don't know where to start. So let's take the companies that are still very much in that sort of level one to manual, use a really simple example like Xero. It's got a base level of OCR in it. I think it will pick up like header information. It might do amounts, you know, and that sort of stuff. But it's not really getting very granular. So, to what extent are these solutions now plug and play, or are we thinking, right, well, we need to first look at the data. We need to have more of a migration path if we're going to implement a solution like Glean or another AP automation platform. How would you encourage people to think about onboarding, making the shift, selecting and gearing themselves up for success?
Well, our team is trained not to use the word implementation with Glean. Don't even start there. Like, honestly, to get started with Glean, most companies already have some type of centralized inbox where the vendors are sending receipts and invoices like AP at or expenses at company.com. We just give them an email address where they add us as a member of that group, and we receive the invoices and other like bills to process. So it's to get started with Glean, that's all you have to do. Now you can connect your general ledger if you want to do the accounting. You know, through Glean, if you want to pay bills to us, you connect your bank, and that takes all of 5 minutes. Setting up approval rules, it might take another like 30 minutes, but it's really like a few hours of work at most to get started. It's not like moving from QuickBooks to NetSuite, right? Like, so we hesitate to use a word like implementation. And as part of like any sales process, we're doing that education up front to say, listen, it's very low risk. Like, you can try this and see what your data looks like in Glean by just setting up this forwarding role without making any real commitment and see what like the benefit is. But in addition to that, just in terms of walking them through the analysis. Like, we really just, it's not complicated. It's like, it's just a cost benefit. So we want to understand like how they're processing bills today at the minimum, but also we want to bring out, we have to do some education just around like the lack of visibility, the lack of control around vendor spend, because that's where a lot of our value is as well. So we'll ask questions about, hey, have you missed like the opportunity to like terminate a renewal over the last year? How often is spend coming in over a budget? Have you had any duplicate payments recently? Sometimes we'll ask like, you know, out of every 100 bills that are getting approved through your current AP process, how many get or are being submitted? How many are getting denied? That should probably be like 10 or so, right? Like, there should be some scrutiny. Vendors are always trying to put stuff on bills and it's wrong. The answer is like 0 or 1 out of 100. So like, that's just indicative of like conversations not happening and like maybe not having a great spend culture. So like we do some education around that. And then we just drill down on, you know, the time savings potential. You know, I've spoken a lot about like some of the insights and the analytics that we provide, but because we have all that rich data, we can do things like automated prepaids amortizations, and we can identify vendors that should have billed you but didn't, and you can book those accruals through Glean. So those like prepaid amortizations and accruals are two of the biggest pain points for accounting teams when they have to close the end of the month. So like, you know, we'll quantify the time savings for that versus that their kind of existing process today, in really what the opportunity cost of freeing up that time is, so that they can focus on other projects. And then, you know, clearly just lay out that ROI and compare it to the switching cost of maybe spending, you know, a couple of hours in an onboarding call and maybe like a couple of hours training the team to use the product. And at the end of the day, it becomes a pretty clear, we try to really make it as much of a no-brainer as possible to say, listen, you know, this is a very high ROI, very low risk. And that's really the process we go through with that.
Okay. I suppose the only things that I'd add to that, because I mean, as you may know, my experience is in finance software and ERP systems, right? Yeah. And the difficulty companies sometimes have, especially when they're adding on, so enhancing the stack, is what do we use in our current system versus what are we now going to be able to do in a new system, right? So a lot of systems now might have an element of AP in them, so purchase record or invoice or whatever. Yeah. So the first step might be to say, right, well, if we do have that capability in the current system, we're not going to use that because it is going to be replaced by this, or we're going to use an element of that. So we'll track the POs, for example, so we can have that audit trail from request to invoice in the GL system.
Yeah.
Of course, the operational stuff is going to come elsewhere, yeah. Right? The other piece that I see quite a lot is around that approvals piece. So the amount of companies that come to me and say, look, we're looking to standardize and simplify, you know, give us some recommendations. And you sometimes find that you've got companies that will have like a five-step, you know, progressive, you know, value-based approval process that's completely over-engineered, yeah, that they might need to revisit and simplify before implementing a new tool. So yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, that with tools like Glean, the onboarding should be effortless,
yeah,
but that's not to say that there isn't at least a little bit of a thought exercise that needs to go beforehand.
Yeah.
And you could also even look at that reporting piece as well, because, you know, depending on your GL and your cost centers, you know, this might welcome a conversation to say, right, well, how do we want to report? How do we need to look at reporting? Does our GL structure need to change? You know, can we simplify any of our cost center reporting, all of that sort of stuff? So I think there's a lot of valid questions that companies can go through to simplify. This is, you know, this is the crux of it, right? To simplify that process, to basically stack the odds in their favor of making sure that if they do implement the solution, they're going to get the most amount of value from, yeah, it, right?
On that first part, where you talked about, you might have an existing product, yeah, that does some AP and you might decide not to use certain elements. We actually encounter that a lot. So, you know, where Brex and Rayv these days now have their own kind of AP or bill paying offering, And a lot, most of our customers also have flip racks or ramp carts too. But like, yeah, we, you know, if you're on a sales call with us, like we don't really position ourselves as like an AP company, like, as like the main thing we do. It's really about spend forensics, and AP automation is really a feature of that spend, overall spend forensics platform. So most of our customers see enough value in that spend forensics platform that they'll migrate, you know, what the, what they're doing, you know, they'll migrate their entire AP business to Glean, but they'll also send those receipts that they're putting on their, like, for the credit card transactions into Glean as well. And we have some features that you can basically turn off the general ledger sync for those car, those documents, so that it doesn't create any double entries, but they're getting the analysis for those credit card transactions. And that's often where a lot of the abuse occurs. But they see enough value in Glean's platform where they're going to maintain both, you know, both systems and really get the best of both worlds. And, you know, we have case studies of customers doing that, that we share and say, hey, you know, although you can do some of this with your current platform, you're going to be missing out on all these other features. And here's like three companies that are really doing both, and here's all the additional value they get.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great stuff. Great stuff. I'm conscious you're a busy man, Howard, and we had 30 minutes for this, didn't we? So, no, it's all good. I think it's been really interesting just to understand the art of the possible.
Yeah.
Which great, you know, I think more companies need to be taking a leaf out of your book in terms of pushing boundaries, which is great. I was going to ask you about the competitive situation with Bill, because you seem to be quite vocal at the moment. I think it's in your LinkedIn tagline. I don't know how many feathers you've ruffled there, but obviously you're quite passionate about the distinction, right?
It's a great tagline, like Bill.com with a brain. I have nothing against them. I mean, they've done a phenomenal job just growing the business. And they've been the market leader for a tremendous amount of time. But, you know, the tagline does a great job just highlighting what the product lacks today. There's no analytics, right? It's just a workflow tool. It's very tactical. It's not strategic at all. So that's really our differentiation. And, you know, I think 80% of our customers today come from that platform. It's a very competitive market. There's no shortage of AP products out there. I think if I could become like as big as an AR one day, I'd be very, very, very happy.
Hey, yeah, you're scrappy. I mean, you're probably a bit bigger than startup now, right? But you know, there's you know, you need to be doing these sorts of stuff to get the word out there, because otherwise people just won't know, will they? You know, so no, but as you say, plenty of opportunity, right? So I'll ask you the one question that I ask as many of my guests as I can. Yeah. It wasn't the topics, because I like seeing the thought process. But the podcast called Tech for Finance. So I often ask whether there's a gadget, like a browser extension, an app that you use, it could even be a phone app that you use day to day, that you just couldn't live without.
Right now it's ChatGPT. I mean, I love it. I'll just give you a story from today. I have an employee who had a grammatical error in one of, he's a salesperson, and he had a grammatical error to a potential partner of ours. And it's a recurring error that I've seen. So like the first two times I kind of just ignored it. And this time I was like, all right, I got to give them constructive feedback here. And not to like be nitpicky about it or come over, like just really be constructive. I'm all supportive of his growth. So I just put in like a good prompt into ChatGPT to say, listen, I want to be supportive here, you know, and polite, but like, you know, he should be aware of this error and look to correct it. So it gave me some, you know, good first draft that I then modified. And then, you know, I sent it to him. He wrote me back a very generous email right afterwards saying, hey, this is awesome. Thanks so much for the feedback. And like, keep it coming if I'm making errors like this. So I use it a lot for particularly for like helping write some difficult emails, but I find it very useful.
Yeah. So you mentioned the email writing there. Is it, so the use of ChatGPT, is it more with the sort of the writing and using it as a sounding board? And, you know, how would you approach this? Or are there any other operational stuff that you use ChatGPT for, like crunching numbers or doing anything like that? Or is it mostly text-based stuff you're doing it with?
For me, it's mostly text-based stuff. But like, we use LLMs extensively here at Glee as just part of the kind of the AI capability here. That's a big part of like the, yeah, we were kind of pioneers at identifying generative AI and, you know, the capability over 12 months ago and leveraging all of that over the last like 12 to 18 months. But yeah, personally, you know, I do some data analysis with Hani. And I talked about some of the things that we, some of the analysis that we do. But I think my biggest use case is drafting, you know, emails in different forms of communication.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I say to everyone, because, you know, another question I get a lot is, you know, I need some more of the use cases. Like, you know, we're using it a little bit, you know, I want the team to use it a little bit more to improve, you know, productivity and all that sort of stuff, which is great. You know, and I'm a full advocate of having a tab open, you know, and almost using it as a bit of a second brain.
Yeah.
Just so that you don't have to make as many decisions, you know, just so that you don't have that writer's block, as it were. Yeah. But I think if people were just to say, I'm going to call it a little bit with the AI, it is being built into everything. Yeah. So just by way of using the applications that you do every day, you're going to get the advantage from it.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think sometimes people need to chill a little bit and just let it, you know, let it wash over them, let it emerge. And yeah, hopefully people just become more productive and happier as a result. That's what it's about, right? You know, less of the boring stuff, more of the good stuff, right?
For sure.
Yeah, fab. Right. Well, that's a really good place to end, Howard. Again, pleasure to have you on. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, but keep up the great work. I love seeing what you're doing. If people want to check out Glean and you, where's the best place to find you?
Website's glean.ai, not glean.com, glean.ai. And if you want to reach out personally, it's Howard@glean.ai is the best place. And my LinkedIn, it's Howard Katzenberg.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put it in the show notes so people can hook up with you. So no, great. All right, Howard. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks ever so much.
Thanks, Adam. Really enjoyed it. Take care.
Yeah. No, see you later. Cheers.
Hey again, and thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard today, don't forget to like, review, and subscribe. And for more goodies, head over to techforfinance.com. See you soon.